So glad that you're here. So glad that I get to be here this morning. So Pastor Brad and Julie and their family are out on vacation this week. And I just want to say I am so grateful that we have a leader who models to us a healthy rhythm of life, who works hard and takes a break and takes time to rest and recuperate. And I think we could learn so much from that. Amen. It's summertime, and it's a time that we can all, hopefully, I would invite you to find some time to rest and rejuvenate and take some time with your family and visit somebody you haven't seen or go on a trip or do something simple. Just sit at home on your couch. I don't know what it is, what it looks like for you. But the important thing is taking a healthy approach to life, I think, is really important for longevity, because we're in this for the long haul, right? And nobody's asked us to burn out for Jesus. He has got us here for a season, for a time, and we want to make the best of that, want to make the most of that. And so I'm excited to be with you this morning. It provides me an opportunity to talk to you a little bit this morning, and I'm happy to do that. I want to invite you. I've got my Bible up here, and I always feel bad about this, so I'm going to just say it so it gets it off my mind. I don't often preach by opening my Bible, and the only reason for that is because the print is so small, and my eyes are so bad. And so I have it printed really big in my notes here, but I want to let you know we're going to open up the scriptures this morning, talk about a few things from the Bible, and I want to invite you to join me, whether you've got it on your phone or a paper Bible, or you can see it on the screens. The verses that we cover will be up there. It's important for us to know that part of our worship to the Lord is honoring His Word and looking into that Word and seeing how it applies to our life, and that's what this part of our worship service is about. So in 2019, we've talked a lot about, we kind of kicked off the year with a series called Follow Me, and we're talking a lot about becoming disciples, about being people who are fully devoted followers of Jesus. And I believe that this is super important for us to come back to and visit all throughout this year. And so we're going to have some messages like this one that kind of tie back into that series that help us become who God has called us to be, because I believe that God has an inheritance for us to receive today in this life, that there is an abundance. You see, Jesus said specifically to His disciples, I pray that you would have life and have life abundant. And I believe that abundant life is available for us in the here and now. And a big part of us experiencing that abundance is learning how to dedicate our lives completely and wholly and fully to Jesus Christ right here today in this life. And we enjoy these benefits long before we get to eternity. Because I believe that what Jesus teaches us and how to live and how to become a follower of His and how to do life brings all kinds of joy and satisfaction and pleasure in this life. And so if we desire to experience God's abundance for us, we got to learn what He says to do, how He calls us to live, how what it means to be a devoted disciple. And so this message today, I'm just going to share a couple of things that I've learned along the way, along my journey from looking at Scripture, from living life, from receiving teachings here at Harvest, and other people that have poured into my life, something that I believe has helped me to experience God, to experience His blessings, to experience a fullness of this abundant life that Jesus has promised. I don't believe that I've experienced all of it. You know, if Scripture says that we'll experience, do the things that Jesus did, and there's a lot of things that Jesus did that I haven't done yet. In fact, in the end of the book of John, right, He says that I suppose that if all the things that Jesus did while He was on the earth were to be written down, that the whole earth couldn't contain the books that it would be written in, right? Jesus was a busy guy. There was a lot that He did. And maybe that was a little bit of hyperbole. I don't know if it was or not. All this I'm trying to say is this thing that I'm going to talk about today has helped me experience some of the abundance that God has for us, and I believe that it will help you as well, or I wouldn't share it, right? Well, we hope that the things that we share from up here are valuable today. And so here's our big idea today. Available disciples choose to make room for God. Because the reality is we all have good intentions in our life, right? We want to do good. We want to make a difference. We want our lives to matter, for our lives to be on point, for us, for our existence on this earth to be of some value. We don't want to just flit through life and come to the end of it and realize there's nothing really to write in our obituary. There's nothing to put on our headstone. There's nothing to show for the time that we lived here on earth. We want to make a difference, but a lot of times we have these excuses, right? I don't have time that I wanted to do something good, but I didn't have time, or I wanted to do something really valuable. I wanted to make a difference, but I just don't have the money to make that dream come to reality. I want to make a difference, but I'm so busy. I got so much stuff going on. I don't know when I could find time to do that. I want to make a difference, but you know, my sin habits, they just keep me from hearing God and moving forward in my life. It's a problem that we all experience. Too much to do and not enough day to do it in, right? We get to the end of our day and we think, man, I just couldn't get enough done. Even us pastors struggle with this. I struggle with this, thinking, I wish I could do more. I wish I could cram more into the 24 hours that I've been given. Near the end of his life, Dallas Willard, who is a well-respected teacher of spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines, just an incredible man of God, when he was asked, he was being interviewed by someone, and the interviewer asked him, what is the most important thing for Christians in our day and age, right here today, to concentrate on, or what's the most important thing that you think they ought to hear? And his response has been chewing at me for several months now. He said this: ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. I'm going to say that again. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And like I say, man, I'm just chewing on that, going, wow, that is super deep, because I think, I know I struggle with that a lot. We're a hurried culture. We're a fast-paced microwave generation that we want it now. You know, my way, right away, right? And so we're just hurrying from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And I cram my calendar so full of things that I don't even know which way is up sometimes. And so I've been dwelling in this a little bit. I've been chewing on it. I've been trying to read about it, research it. And I'm currently reading a book about living life at the unhurried pace of Jesus. And like I mentioned, Jesus was busy. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that he was up to, a lot of activity going on in his life. But there was a state of his heart, a state of his being, of unhurriedness in what he was doing, that is something I want to learn from and I want to grab a hold of. And as I was reading just last week in this book, he was talking about the story of the Good Samaritan. You guys are familiar with that, I hope, from the Bible. And there was a guy that was going on a journey, and he was attacked on the side of the road, and he was wounded and injured and needed help. And so the story goes that the priest or the pastor, right, was walking along the road, saw the guy over here, and just walked on past because he was too busy to stop and help the guy. He probably had to get to church, right? He was on his way to church and couldn't help this guy. And then the story goes there was another Levite, you know, that was coming along down the road as well, or a life group leader, you could call it that, or maybe just a regular Christian. And he was too busy to stop and help the guy that was on the side of the road. And then there was this other guy called a Samaritan. I don't know, we could call him Redneck Billy Bob today. I don't know what the equivalent was, but he was a guy that was probably had stuff to do as well, right? He was on his way to a business meeting or had things to do. It wasn't that he was just had a clear schedule necessarily, but he saw the guy and had compassion on him and stopped and helped and took time out of his schedule to minister to this guy, to bandage him up, to take him to an inn, a place that could take care of him, paid for his bill, and said, hey, I'll come back, check on him later, and I'll pay whatever else is owed. And my guess is, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just thinking, everybody, when they're going on a journey, they've got a destination in mind, right? They're not just out meandering around looking for a guy to help on the side of the road, right? This guy had a purpose. He had somewhere to go. He had somewhere to be. And yet, something about his character and his nature said that he had time to stop and help. And so I read that story in the morning, in my morning devotional time, and I got to work that day, and it was a busy morning in the church office here, and the phone rings up at the front, and Debbie, our receptionist, said, hey, there is a lady on the phone. She is bawling and crying, and I can't understand what she is saying, and all I heard was, I need to talk to a pastor. And my first inclination is, I'm busy. I have stuff to do. I have a message to prepare, or I have some phone. I have stuff to do, right? I have a task list all lined out my day. You know, it's on the calendar, right? And the Lord reminded me of that story in that moment. And so I was able to stop and slow down and take some time to listen to this lady's story, to hear what her cry. I didn't know the lady. She doesn't go to our church. She called randomly. It was one of those God-appointed moments, I think, that he had prepared me for that morning, because I had taken some time to set aside and listen to the Lord. And so it prepared me later in the day to be able to listen to this story and find a way to help someone who was in need. And I'm embarrassed to say that had God not prompted me that morning, that might not have been my first response. And I'm a little bit convicted by that. I'm a lot convicted by that, actually, because that's not the person I want to be. That's not the disciple that I want to be. You see, we all have the same amount of time in the day, 24 hours. We choose how to spend it. It's our choice how we invest that time. And we're as available to God as we want to be. You see, available disciples choose to make room for God. Now, I found that there's two keys to this that are helping me experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. And the first one of those is this, being available to God. And I mentioned this, having some time where we set aside to listen to what God might say to us. You know, Jesus made time in his schedule to listen to the Father, to carve out time to where he could be available to God, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in quiet, to spend time away from the demands of his ministry or his work or the demands of people around him. And we all have that experience, right? There's people clamoring for our time all the time, whether it's people at work, whether it's kids at home, whether it's the telemarketer giving us a call on the phone. Everybody wants a piece of our time. And Jesus was no different. In Mark 6:31, it tells us a little bit, it gives us some insight into what Jesus' schedule was like. He said, because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Have you ever felt that way? You're going so fast, 90 to nothing. I don't even have time to run through a drive-thru and get something to eat because I got to get to my next appointment. And so Jesus remedied that, and he said, guys, it is so important for us to not be exhausted beyond what we can handle. He said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while and listen to what God might have to say to him. Because this was the normal practice of Jesus. There's scriptures all throughout the Gospels that tell us about Jesus' regular practice to get up in the morning early before it was light, and even praying through the night and into the late evening. He found time in his schedule so that he can connect with God. And I believe this is why he did it, one of the reasons. John 5:19 says this, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You see, even Jesus, while he was here on the earth, needed time alone with the Father to get a download of what his marching orders were, what his instructions for the day were, what he needed to focus on, who he needed to see that day, or what kind of healing he needed to take place in, or what kind of message he needed to share, or what kind of love he needed to exhibit to the people around him. And so he needed that time to reconnect with the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me for today? What is my mission for today? And brothers and sisters, I would say that we're no different than Jesus. We get our marching orders for the day by listening to the Father. And so when we make time to be with God, we are going to hear his voice. I will guarantee it, if you will slow down and carve out some time in your busy schedule to listen to what God might instruct you, you will hear the voice of God. And if you obey when you hear his voice, if you grab a hold of what he's saying, and then you actually act on it, do something about what he's calling you to do, my guess is he'll continue sending you an invitation every day, after day, after day, of something that you can do or some way that you could build his kingdom or make things better, or as we were saying in the beginning, make a difference with your life. Experience the abundance of what he wants to provide for you. And guys, I struggle with this. I really do. I've had to take my phone out, and I've had to put appointments in my calendar. In my calendar to remind me to connect with God. I know it sounds cheesy. I know it sounds lazy. I don't really care. It helps me. Right? It helps me when that reminder pops up first thing in the morning. Oh, yeah, I was going to spend some time with the Lord this morning. Oh, yeah, I need to listen. Oh, yeah, I need to slow down. and make some time. Whatever it takes, you know what? It's worth it to me. It's worth it to me to help reorient myself and remind myself that I want to be connected with the Father. The second thing is this: be available to the church. This has bolstered my life as a disciple, I mean, just incredibly. When I made a decision years and years ago that I want to dedicate time and effort and energy into what is happening inside the church, the local church, and it wasn't this church, it was another church where I grew up when I made that decision, that I wanted to be a part of the ministry of what was happening there, it has stretched me and grown me and challenged me beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And so I would say this: commit to offering your skills and resources to building the local church. Hebrews 13, 17 reminds us of this. It says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God for that. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow, for that would certainly not be for your benefit. You see, there's people in this very church today who work hard and with skill, and then they give big gifts of money to ensure that the work of ministry here continues. There are couples who give instead of receive by leading a life group every single week. There are folks back in Kid City up there in the front of our building who have chosen to invest their time and effort and energy and resources into the youngest generations of our church every week. There are men who come up here at really weird hours, if you didn't know this, to set up tables for Bravehearts right here. This building, this room transforms every single week. And we pull chairs out of here and we set up tables in here because these men believe so strongly that God's going to touch men's lives around those tables on Tuesday morning during our Bravehearts time together, that they come up here and do that hard physical manual labor. There's men and women who come up early in the morning to this building, who give up their lunch break and come up here, who are up here at different times and stay awake late at night praying for this church and for you personally as a member of this church. There's all kinds of different ways that people serve and invest, and all of these services grow us into disciples who experience the abundant life that Jesus has called us to experience. And so if that's the reality, if these two things, make being available for God and being available to the church, help form us, then what kind of habits could help us improve our availability? And the first one is this: create some margin in your life. If your calendar looks anything like mine, it's jam-packed full with activity after activity after activity. Some of those are work, some are family, some are kids, all kinds of things that you volunteer for, kinds of things here at church. There's lots of time crammed into our calendars. And there's this interesting principle that I find in the Old Testament from Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Says this: when you reap the harvest of your land, you're not to reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the resident alien. I am the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting that God made this rule where he didn't want people reaping to the edge of their field, like getting every little last morsel or bit out of that field? He wanted them to have some margin at the end of those rows so that, and it wasn't just necessarily about preserving his own people. It wasn't so that they had a healthy and physiologically balanced life, right? The principle behind that was, is he gave that command so that the people who needed the grain that was in that margin, the grapes that were in that margin, the produce there could be provided for. And see, we are people who constantly reap to the edges of our lives. I think we feel like the way Bilbo Baggins, if you are a Lord of the Rings fan, said this: I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. How true is that for our lives? We look at our lives and we find ourselves having so little margin. We tend to reap to the edge of our fields using this language of Leviticus. We use everything that we have, every last dime, every last minute, all of our energy, all of our everything. We spend it out. We pour it out and we find ourselves exhausted to the point that there's nothing left. And so as a result, we don't have anything left for just in case. Just in case, like a conversation in the middle of the day, because our schedule is already so packed, there isn't room there to take that phone call from a friend who needs to talk. We don't have room in our schedule to get to know our neighbors around us because our evenings are already so full of activities and things that we're doing, or we're so tired that we're just plopped down on the couch or in bed at 8 o'clock, you know, because we're exhausted. We've spent all of our money, so when the need arises for a mission trip or an opportunity to help somebody in need, our bank account is empty and every dollar is already accounted for. And so I'm asking you this morning to consider what's challenged me. And I've been thinking about this and working on it. And I'll tell you, it's a challenge. It's a chore to think about my calendar and to look at, okay, what if I scheduled 80% of my calendar? And what if I was able to leave some white spaces between my meetings? What if I was able to put some white space in between all of my different appointments, all the different activities, so that just in case when I asked God, what would you like me to do today, or just in case when somebody needed something extra that I hadn't planned for, there was some room, that I didn't reap to the edge of my calendar field and that I was able to help? What if I didn't spend all of my money on myself and there was some margin in my bank account so that if somebody had a need, I could be available to help? Because I believe that God invites us time after time after time to participate with Him in the ministry of blessing His children. That there's going to be people that come along in our lives just like there was back in Leviticus times that need help, that need something from us, that we could share what God's abundantly blessed for. But if we don't create some margin in our life, we're not going to be able to obey God when He calls us to do that. The second thing that I've found that's helped me is to respond when invited. So I get an invitation to participate, to help do something, and I actually choose to make time to do it. And Colossians 3:23 says this, "Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." And so when we have those good intentions and we say, I want to do something valuable, I want to make a difference, I want to be involved in ministry, I want to say yes when I'm asked to do something to help, I want to challenge you to say yes when you're asked, to make that decision, to not put it off, not delay, not say I'm too busy, but find a way to work that into your schedule, not so that you have more things to do, but so that you have the right things to do, the things that God is calling you to do and asking you to do and inviting you to do. I know when I was choosing to be involved here at Harvest back when we first started, one of the first things I was asked to do to help with the ministry here was mow the grass over at the old Quincy building. And can I just be honest this morning? I thought I was overqualified for that job. I know that sounds bad, but you know what? I chose to say yes and mow the grass, because that's what was needed at the time. Besides, nobody even knew who I was. They didn't know if I was trustworthy to do anything else or not. But over time, as I was faithful with what I was asked to do and responded to that invitation, I had more opportunities to do things that I liked better than mowing the grass. And I think that's the same thing that's true for you. When you're asked to do something around here, just say yes and see what you might find in that ministry. The third thing is this, offer your resources. Go out of your way to let people know that you're available to call when they need for help, because we believe or we have this such a busy society. I'm scared to ask anybody to do anything when I need help, right? Because I know that everybody is busy. I know that everybody has a full schedule. And I think all of us are probably that way, that we would hate to impose ourselves on someone else when we actually needed something or we saw a way that they could help, because we don't want to imposition them. And so to counteract that, I would say, put yourself out there and say, hey, I'm available. I've created some margin in my schedule. I'd like to be utilized. I'd like to help. I'd like to be able to be a blessing to someone. I had a friend who did this a while back. He had a lot of tools in his workshop, a lot of different stuff, you know, that he accumulated over his life. And he said, hey, man, I love to loan out my tools. And I don't know when I met the last guy that would say that, right? That had to be from the Holy Spirit, because guys are super protective about their tools, right? And so I didn't know if I believed this guy. But one day I found I was working on a project and I really needed a specialized tool to be able to do what I did. And I thought, you know what? He offered that. I'm going to call him up, see if he's actually good on his offer. And you know what? He was. He was happy for me to borrow that tool, and it really helped me finish the job that I was working on in that moment. Lots of examples from this in the Bible, right? The boy with the two loaves, when they were looking for food, he said, obviously what I've got can't feed all of these thousands of people, but I'm going to share what I do have in hopes that you could use it, right? Or Peter, when asked for some money by a sick person, said, I don't have silver and gold to offer, but what I do have, I offer to you in the name of Jesus. And he actually brought healing into that man's life. There's a story from 2 Chronicles, I think, that's really good for us to look at. 2 Chronicles 2, verses 12 and 14, that give us a little bit of a picture of this. It says, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who made the heavens and the earth. He has given King David a wise son, gifted with skill and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal palace for himself. So he's commissioned Solomon to build this temple. And here's what he said in verse 13. I am sending you a master craftsman named Huram Abi, who is extremely talented. His mother is from the tribe of Dan in Israel. His father is from Tyre. He is skillful at making things from gold, silver, bronze, and iron. And he also works with stone and wood. He can work with purple, blue, and scarlet cloth and fine linen. This guy is a Renaissance man, right? I mean, he can sew and he can build and he can carve. He's also an engraver. Look at this. It gets even better. He can follow any design given to him. He will work with your craftsmen and those appointed by my Lord David, your father. Here's what I learned from that passage. Your gift makes room for you. When you develop your skills, when you develop your abilities, when you are known to be someone who is a master at something, who is a generous person, who is offering your resources to the gift, to the benefit of building God's kingdom, there is a place created for you on the team. And people see that and they recognize that and they invite you to come and participate and utilize what God has gifted you with to help build the kingdom and experience the abundance that Jesus promised. You know, here at church, sometimes we are able to see that in people and sometimes we aren't able to see that. We're not the all-seeing eye who know what everybody is good at and what all kinds of gifts everybody has. And so I would ask this. If you want to be involved in making a difference around here, would you raise your hand? Would you? You don't have to. You can do it right now. Look at all this. Wow, I didn't expect that response. We have a ton of people on our team this morning. But I'm just saying, raise your hand and say, I would like to help. And make yourself available. Say, I've created some margin, and I would like to participate in what God is doing in the world, and I would like for my life to make a difference. I would like to be involved in ministry. Because I believe this, that every single one of us is called to make a difference in this world. We're called to make a difference in the Plainview community, in the Floyd Ada community, the Lockneck community, the Olton community, Tulia, Abernathy, all of these different areas around West Texas. We're called to make a difference in this place. And if we would choose to be available to God, if we would choose to make time in our schedule to hear from the voice of God and receive some instructions from him on how to live our lives, on how to be involved, on what to do with our time and our effort and our energy and our resources, that we would start experiencing, like no other community, the abundance of God poured out upon us. Because you see, the available disciple makes room for God in his or her life. And it comes down to this. It really does. Do you want to make a difference in the kingdom? Do you want your life to matter? I want to finish with this morning. I heard the story recently from a family in our church that the wife had decided she was working outside the home. She had a job, and this job was just encroaching upon her time, just like all of our jobs do, right? We wish we didn't have to work sometimes so we could do the things that we really want to do. But she was looking at this saying, you know what? I really feel called to be more available for my kids at their sports activities and the things that they're doing because they're only going to be in our home for a short amount of time. And this work that I'm committed to is interfering with that. And, you know, there's some ministry opportunities that I would love to be available for at the church, and I can't do that because the time that I'm investing in my job is interfering with that. And so their family prayed about it, and they were listening to God and trying to go, okay, what if I let go of this job? What if I actually for a season gave up my employment and the income that's associated with that and decided that I'm going to invest in these things that I believe God's calling me to invest in? What would that look like? Would that be possible? And it, I would imagine, took some prayer on their behalf to change their lifestyle, right? Because lowering your income significantly like that causes some change to be happening in your budget. You know, a reduction in income also means you got to reduce some expenses and not spend some money on things that you're used to spending them on. But you know what? That decision was made, and that family was blessed because of a decision to listen to the Father and for that season do what He was calling them to do. And so I don't know what He's calling you to do this morning. I don't know what invitation He's making for you. I don't know if it's as drastic as choosing to give up a job for a time so that you can focus on your kids or on some ministry that you would like to do or something else. I don't know if it might just be waking up 30 minutes earlier in the day or going to bed 30 minutes earlier so you can wake up 30 minutes earlier. I don't know what it is that He's calling you to do, but I believe this, that you could take one step closer towards creating margin in your life, that there's something today that the Lord is speaking to you that you could do to say, I want to be available. I want to hear what the Lord has for me. And so what invitation has God made that you need to say yes to today? What resources do you have now that you'll be able to offer those to someone else? What's God calling you to do? Would you guys stand with me this morning as we wrap up? I want to just give us a minute as we sing. Josh is going to lead us in a song. I've got these questions up on the board. You guys, can you leave those back up there? Put those back up and leave those. And I want us to think about that. What's God calling us today? We've set aside some time in our schedule to be here, to be in a place that it's quiet, we're listening, we're hearing from God. And so what's He speaking to you? What's He saying to you today in this place, in this moment? What's a way that you can take a step towards creating some margin in your life? What invitation do you need to say yes to? What resources do you have, and how could you offer those to someone else? So as Josh sings, think about that, pray about that, and then I'll be right back and finish this up this morning.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Prayer team, would you guys go ahead and come to the front? You know, Jesus really is our living hope. He really is the answer to our questions in life. He really is the one that provides the resources that we need to live our lives. And this team of incredible people here would love to pray for you this morning, help agree with you as you've heard from the Lord this morning. If there's something that's going on in your life that you would like some help with, someone to pray over you, feel free to come up and grab one of these people. They would love to do that with you. I want to say thank you again for being here this morning. This is an incredible group of people, and we are called to be the kingdom of God, the people of God who are advancing His kingdom right not just inside these four walls, but as you go out, as you leave today, to make a difference in the world that you live in, the place that you work, the family that you're raising, the school that you participate in. So go and be blessed, and may God's peace rest upon you today.